Hello, everybody. It is me. Everyone's abandoned us, Dom. What are we going to do? It's just me and you.
I said, I think we should just tell each other stories from the weekend.
I'll tell you about my cat. Anyway, people, hello and welcome to Birdcat Wonderland radio show, not the podcast. That's on Tuesday. Arsenal 5, Burnley 0. And I'm watching it now on Sky Sports. And this entire stadium is packed. And Stan Kroenke is giving Wenger a round of applause. And
I think it's a weird-looking fella, isn't he, Stan?
He's definitely he's worn the same suit for all the six games he's ever been to, one per season. I think it's Bob Wilson. Yeah, Bob Wilson talking and Pat Rice next to him. I don't know what they're saying because I'm talking to you a lot. And yeah, it's pretty good. It's nice. But good if I could have the volume on. I suppose I should introduce we have Dom with us today. Hello, Dom.
Good morning still here.
Yeah, what time is it?
It's 10:38 a.m.
Oh, you're 8 hours behind. Wow. That's a bit odd. Right, I'm going to go and have a look at people in the chat box. They've been busy chatting away. There's 30 of them in there at the moment. We don't expect many people today because it's a lovely sunny day. And, yeah, watch the game, watch us hammer Burnley, then run away, go out and have some cider with ice cream in it. We have Archie, Stan the Man, I've already been talking to those two. And Nicky Wilson is moaning that Sky didn't show it because Sky don't care, people. The sooner the better you get Sky out the window and go and get an alternative supplier of wonderful footballness. And then some numbers is there. Ian Alexander is there. Who else? Moshin, J-Rob, AFC Cam. I didn't get you to say anything, did I? Like, I'm a mushroom. Oh, I missed my chance then. I might never get another go with Jason not being here to bully me. Who else is there? C-Law AFC, AFC Cam, Renry. I'm just scrolling all the way down. Doesn't seem to be any other more people typing. Tom Douglas. There you go. Dom, you're going to have to keep an eye on them in the box to make sure they behave themselves because it's only you and me. And fuck knows, no one else is going to turn up. right, we're getting there. Oh, Rudy Rastos is there. Ashley Morris, Stephen Edwards. And now the whole page has just moved. Is there any more? Oh, some guy. There you go. And his quote comment is, Ozil's a luxury Arsenal can't afford anymore, which is what me and Dom were talking about before the game. But I suppose a few things we should start with, Dom. What was your... should we have a moment of silence for Stoke City?
Oh, that was just brilliant, wasn't it? You got to take the positives out of a season like we've had, don't you? And if that means laughing at other people, then so be it.
Oh, dear. What do the people in the box think to... in the chat box think to Stoke City? You can type whatever you want. There's no rules in here. Only the strong shall survive. Oh, there you go. Ian Alexander. Exactly the same one I use. Renry's put PMSL. I don't know what that means. I'll piss myself laughing. Of course it does. Been saying that for two seasons now. He's a toddler talking about Ozil. Stoke has been flushed from Ashley Morris. Nicky Wilson, one Arsene Wenger. They've just given him a... Are you watching it, Dom?
No.
I've given him a miniature gold Premier League winner's trophy. So he held it. He held it high. Oh, there's a bloke wiping his eyes. Oh, a beardy bloke. There's at the moment there. There's Raj will be there. Goonaholic, Jason Davies, Jeff Arsenal. I think Fife will be there.
I'd say
who?
Hilstein.
Oh yeah, he'll be there definitely. Chris is probably walking topless down the beach somewhere in Plymouth. Renry's put, even better if Southampton go down as well. I want Swansea to go down. I don't think there should be any Welsh teams in the Premier League. I don't need them. If you want Welsh teams in the Premier League, then I demand that we have Scottish and Irish teams in the Premier League as well. Imagine that. You'd have Dublin and... I'm sure there is a team in Dublin. I don't know what they're called, though. There's a Wenger banner. We go in Alexander's, but my heart bleeds for Stoke. Nothing more than they deserved after their pathetic chants and songs about Ramsey for years. There you go. We agree with that, don't we, Dom?
Definitely do.
Seven changes from Thursday's game. The radio said there was eight, but I counted seven. No Ozil again. Apparently he has a back problem. I think his back is injured from carrying everybody all season. And the main changes was Kolasinac playing at left back, not left wing back, which I think that worked quite well for him, and he might get a run of a few games. So what was your thoughts on the lineup, and then your a quick summary of the game, I suppose, is customary.
Yeah, obviously the big talking point was probably the no Ozil thing. I don't even know why they bother telling us that he's injured or has a back problem or he's sick. Why don't just say, look, there's a World Cup coming up. He's one of Germany's most important players, and there's no point injuring the guy in a game that doesn't matter. I think it's quite reasonable that he didn't play today. That's not really a big thing, and it's nice to see players like Iwobi get more of a run in certain positions. And seeing Mavropanos, have you managed to practice that pronunciation, Danny? Have you got that one down yet?
Mavropanos. There is
There you
there,
go.
there must be some kind of psychological. I can say German sounding names, Japanese sounding names, and Greek I can do, but it's just some of the other ones. I just can't wrap my tongue around them. Not enough vowels, too many.
You don't have enough teeth in your head.
I know. I saw a picture of Shredder and his missus on Instagram, and they're both smiling, and they both got about 100 perfect teeth each. Made me so sad.
Oh dear. No, the rest of the team lineup, I guess, is it was kind of nice to see something a little bit different, I think. And hopefully we see, like you said, Kolasinac get more of a run between now and the end of the season. I think a lot of those guys have probably got something to prove with a new manager coming in. The fringe players like Iwobi and Welbeck and Kolasinac to show whatever potential new manager that they may have a spot there next season, you know?
Burnley did kind of roll over though, as a really, I mean, if
They
you're a
got the
Burnley
memo, didn't
fan,
they? They definitely got the memo. You
they've
know,
all
they
got
play
season
ball.
tickets to Arsenal
Big
next season.
Arsene Wenger fans, obviously.
They're a good
Yeah,
club. I
they.
like Burnley. I'm so glad Burnley stayed up. Huddersfield have almost definitely stayed up. Brighton have definitely stayed up. So all these clubs that have come from the lower leagues and come back to the glory time, like Burnley and Huddersfield used to be huge Division One teams back in the olden days when Jeff Arsenal was just a wee young lad. And yeah, it's good to see that. But yeah, so we had Cech starting in goal. I think I maybe would have liked to see the young, even had Ospina on the bench. It would be nice to have seen one of the other goalkeepers get a game. Maybe recall Martinez back from on loan in Spain, where he's just attending the pitch and watering the plant, the daffodils out the front of it. Or who's the young bloke we got, the goalkeeper?
No idea.
Oh, God, he's played two games this season. Oh, someone will put in the chat box, you know what I mean? Young English bloke was on loan at Luton a couple of seasons ago. Every night he's like 6 foot 6, something like that. It'd been great for him to have got a game.
Has he got a neck?
Huh? Oh,
A
God, has he
neck.
got a neck? He's got all of Ospina's neck and then a little bit more. Poor old Dave the Bin Man.
There you go,
Oh,
Macy.
Wenger's now, everyone has got a white t-shirt on saying mercy, Arsene, and everyone's strolling back out on the pitch. He's shaking hands with everyone. He wants to be careful if he shakes hands with Santi in case he injures him. I expect that Bellerin is probably in the changing rooms brushing his pony. Oh no, he's got it up in the samurai style. Yeah, they're all coming out, the whole thing. Oh, it was lovely to see Mertesacker come on. See, this is what happens when I host. I'm going from the beginning of the game to the end of the game to stuff about my cat. It's no use at all. I'm going to go and have a look in the chat box and see if anybody. Is it Matt Macy? Has anybody put Matt? Oh, here we
Yeah,
go.
Macy.
C Law and AFC Camp at Macy. Yeah. Bright has put, we miss you, Wenger. Good luck. Yeah, I think most people think that. Yeah, we were looking at the lineup. So it's like we're checking goal, Kolasinac at left back, Bellerin at right back. I was looking at some of the stats. Bellerin and Xhaka have now played 46 games each this season. Wow.
Yep. Yeah, they
That's.
will definitely be needing a little rest, but I think Xhaka will be off to the World Cup, won't he?
I think Switzerland there, yeah.
Not
And
sure whether I will get the
Bellerin
nod
should.
or if.
If they've got any sense, they'll call him up. But I was just looking, I was surprised that Xhaka played 46 games last season as well. So he's covered 92 games, all competitions in 2 seasons. That's not a bad debut 2 seasons, is it?
He's definitely durable, which is what you want from a midfielder in that spot, don't you?
And then in the back, we had Mavropanos and Chambers with who was on the bench. Mustafi was on the bench now. I don't know. I'm going to have a quick look and see if anyone in the other players are injured, because it's a bit odd that Rob Holding not only didn't he go off to Madrid in midweek, but he wasn't even on the bench today. Just hope this site doesn't have any bloody pop-ups. Where's Arsenal? I think we're right down the bottom. The magic, the wonderful Shad Forsyth is just doing wonders. It's got something playing in the background. Chelsea, Birmingham, Arsenal. Where are they? Oh, for fuck's sake. I can't find
Struggling, aren't they?
Arsenal. Oh, here we go. No, it doesn't say that Big Bob Holding is an injury or anything on Visio Room.
He
Is anybody
might,
in
though. You
the
know,
top 30?
just the club doesn't always announce
Hmm.
little things like that if he's not a starting player. But yeah.
Yeah, very few players on there. And then in midfield,
what do you think of the centre backs today, Danny? They look solid.
It's Mavropanos got an Opta rating of 7.5 and Chambers got a 7.7. Two young players. I think Mavropanos will in time qualify as a youth product because he's been at the club now for, it's only 6 months, but I think
How old is he?
I think he's 19.
Really?
No, 19. I'm going to go and have a quick look and see if it has it on here. Sort by age. Mavropanos is 20. Yeah, we got him from Pasgian. I'm not even going to try and pronounce that. He's got 3 under 21 Greek caps and he's not 21 until the 11th of December. Wow, brilliant. So, yeah, it's really good to see those two there. I think Mavropanos says that he's played, what, 2 games for us? Both games he's been fantastic. And he's shown a willingness to get stuck in and shout and scream, which is what we've wanted for so long.
He definitely hasn't shied away from a challenge, has he? Which is nice to see. Even the commentators made mention of that today, that he's attacking the play as a defender, which is good. But I mean, we've said similar things about Holding and Chambers at periods of their early careers, and then we end up ruining them because we don't play defense. So, and the commentator even on my stream even said that, he's like, it'd be interesting to see how he responds after a few mistakes. And as we've seen with Chambers and Holding, they might start well, but it's a very difficult place on the field to learn your trade, I think, because every mistake's very, very much highlighted. Rather than if you're a striker and you miss a chance, it's not the end of the world. But if you're a defender and you make one mistake, it's probably going to cost you a goal. So he looked good, though. Definitely want him to stay around for next season.
Oh, Wenger just has given someone, a young kid in the crowd, his tie. That'll be on eBay before the night is closed. Oh, someone's enjoying, Nikki's looking at you, and not enjoying, Nikki's looking at your plunging neckline. That's for the ladies only, Nikki. You look away. You're not going to be looking at that kind of nonsense. Right, some other points about the starting lineup. Midfield, starting with Xhaka, Iwobi and Wilshere. That's Wilshere has played more games this season than he's ever played for us ever before. That's a good
sign. Even last year, he played most of the season until he got injured right at the end of it, didn't he?
Yeah, last season for Bournemouth, he played 27 games, all in the Premier League, and did quite well. I think they changed formation and then he dropped down.
He didn't get much of a look in towards the end of the season. Then he did get injured. But as far as physically, I mean, I've always said this, he's not injury prone in the traditional sense of soft tissue injuries and hamstrings and calves and things. He was injury prone in the sense that he kept getting kicked in the ankles. And if any of us got kicked in the ankles, like some of the... Who was that? That absolute spud from Manchester United that stamped on his foot that never really played ever again. It was a centre back at Man United. I can't even remember his name.
O'Shea?
No. Brown? Someone in the chat box might remember. It was an obscure player that played maybe 5 or 6 games for them.
Yeah. No idea.
But you look at that challenge and that's going to break any of our ankles. He's just holds the ball a little bit too long, but he seems to have been not doing that so much this season. Passing that out a little bit earlier, but he's that's it, McNair. Thank you, Jordan. That's the thing with Jack, is that he just needed to sort out getting kicked in the feet, and he was always going to be able to string some games together. Whether he's developed as a footballer in that last 24-month period, I'm not too convinced he has.
I think it's definitely shown that he's not a number 10. I mean, not just because he wears a number 10, but we were never sure of his position. He's not defensive. I think he's just like the usual box-to-box, maybe holding midfielder.
He's definitely got different qualities to most of our other midfielders. We saw it with the assist that he had for Kolasinac, where he got the ball and picked it up, dribbled around someone and drove forward and then flicked it out to the left. We don't have too many players that are capable of doing that without Santi in the team, so... He definitely brings something a little different to the side that we don't have, but he's always looking to go forward too, which is good. But I'm just not sure he has developed other aspects of his game. But and I think maybe he's probably a bit of a victim of the team not playing so well for most of the season too.
Oh, it's crazy Seymour's turned up. Right, she's going to start shouting as soon as she gets in here. Right, yeah, he's played 37 games this season. That is the second highest. The highest was back in 10-11, he played 49. And the next one is 35, then 33. I don't think anyone can say that he's not been worth it. Do you want him to sign a new contract?
Jack,
I think we both agree on this. What was your theory on that, where if we get rid of him, we're going to have to go and buy someone else, we might as well keep him?
Yeah, but the thing, I guess the other thing is we're not gonna get anything for him, are we? That's the other thing.
No, that's it.
I think he's got a good bargaining position with his agents, because he knows the club will have to spend 20, 30 million on a player. And yes, maybe that player won't have the wages that Jack's wanting, but the overall investment in a new player and a risk of bringing somebody else in is there. So I'm not sure. Obviously, I like Jack. We all like Jack. He's an Arsenal boy. But I think it's going to be up to the new manager. If the new manager feels that he can bring someone in, or maybe Mislintat can bring somebody in, then maybe Jack might not have a position at the club. I'm not sure. What do you think?
I want Jack to stay.
I think we all want him to stay, but
he's got the experience. He's we've seen when he plays for England when he was fit, that he was a brilliant player for England. You can get him to do anything in the central midfield, and I'm just biased because he's an English lad, and he's an Arsenal boy through and through. But I don't think he wants to lose face by saying, okay, I'm going to take a lesser wage because of all the other people. I mean, when you've got
where would he go if he was up for sale? What teams do you think are going to be in the market for Jack Wilshere?
Well, he's got another kid coming, hasn't he? So I think he's got two kids with one woman and another one or two with the one that he's with at the moment. And so he's not going to want to move far from London. But
quality wise, what teams do you think right now would be knocking on the door of Jack Wilshere's agent,
irrespective of location? Well, it's going to be money, isn't it? Wolves have got an absolute fortune. They've got more money than sense, and they've got that super agent there. So they'll offer him an absolute fortune to go there. But that'd be terrible if he went there, because they'd just be one of those clubs that, you know, like when QPR came up, they just bought a load of players and then they did nothing for two seasons and ended up getting relegated. And I reckon that's the kind of thing that Wolves would do, and maybe Portsmouth did that. Everton, well, because of the Mashiri links at Everton, and you've got Theo Walcott there, who's a teammate of his for years. But West Ham was the one that he's been linked with quite a lot. But West Ham, he's not the kind of player that West Ham need, because West Ham are in such trouble at the moment.
But you've just set me up beautifully there, because that's what I was running with. None of them are top-tier teams, are they?
So no.
That says a little bit about where Jack is as a footballer right now, that should we be spending, you know, the money that his agent wants for a new contract, when realistically in the market, is he actually worth what, you know, you see what I mean? It's not like Manchester City or United or, you know, Juventus or these types of teams are after Jack Wilshere. The ones that he's being linked with and the ones that are probably going to be in the market for him are mid to lower table teams. So if you're Jack Wilshere, what are you going to do? Are you going to take a little less money and stay at a club like Arsenal, or are you going to take a bit more money and go and play for West Ham?
Well, I know that the season that he went on loan to Bournemouth, we were told that I think it was Roma and maybe one other Italian team, and Bournemouth are the ones that came in for him. But he wanted to stay local because Bournemouth is just like bottom right-hand corner from out of London. And that's why he picked Bournemouth, because they're in the Premier League and because he didn't want to go far. So you look at all the teams in the Premier League next season, well, it's not going to, the ones that are going to be local to us, Chelsea and Tottenham, not a chance. Leicester, that's the Midlands. Well, Leicester on a downward swoop, aren't they? They're having a horrendous run at the moment, and I think they're never going to reclaim the glories that they've done before. Newcastle, that's a big team that could maybe attract, that would be looking to attract the likes of Wilshere, but he's not going to go up and live in Newcastle. Crystal Palace, that's a local team, but they ain't going to have the money to do that, are they? Watford, that's a no. Brighton, that's a no. West Ham's a no, and that's it. And coming up from the Championship, who is coming up from the Championship? Oh, we'll go and have a look. Championship coming up is Wolves, Cardiff, and Fulham. Fulham are in the playoffs. They're playing against Derby in the playoff semi-finals. Fulham have got a mega rich owner. Fulham's not too far from Arsenal. It's in London. That's my local team from where I was born. Do you reckon he could go to Fulham if they decide to, their owner? Because that's the bloke who wants to, who's talking about buying Wembley. So he's got shitloads of money.
Like I said, with Wilshere, I don't really know what's going to happen. I think we all hope that he's going to stay. But at the same time, the wages that he's going to be asking for are first-team wages. And that's the argument. Is he a first-team player at Arsenal? And if he is to go somewhere else to get the wages that he wants, he's not going to a team of our stature. You know, we've had a pretty poor season this season. I understand that, but he's not. We don't have the big boys knocking the door down for Jack Wilshere's signature. That's for sure.
There's a question from Liam. Liam, I like to interject questions during the show, and he says, "Oh, that's Liam. Liam, who helps you out with your stream, isn't it?
Could be. Liam. Could be the one."
Yeah, it is. It says, if it means being able to play Lacazette and Aubameyang in the team and we only have 40 million, shall we sell Ozil sick and use the funds for centre-backs and DMs? That's a good question. How much do you think we get for Ozil, though? 40, 50 million? Maybe 60?
So he's 29. This is the thing for the Ozil thing. I know that there's a lot of people that are down on Ozil at the moment. And yeah, he's not. He's not exactly the player of the season right now. All of those years that we went through selling our best player and complaining at the club for being a selling team, and here we are calling for our best player to be sold.
Get him out!
if we are going to be an actual... like, no manager in world football is coming into Arsenal wanting to sell Mesut Ozil. Think about that. You know, there's no way that he comes in and goes, yeah, that Ozil guy, get him out. Every manager in the world would love to manage Mesut Ozil. And I think that's going to be the difference, is a new manager with a system around him. You build a team around him, and we don't do that. We're asking a guy, ever since he's joined the Premier League, he's had the most chances created in the top five leagues of Europe and the most assists since he's joined us.
Mm.
I'm not sure what else you want the guy to do. He's not an English, you know, rough and tough, run around, kick people, punch someone in the face type of play. You're not going to see that passion from him. It's never going to happen. But the reason he played well at Madrid is because they had a better structure and better players around him. And the reason he plays well for Germany is because they've got a better system, and they only get him to do what he's good at doing. And we don't do that. So he gets highlighted when the whole team plays poorly. We just point at him because he gets paid a lot. I don't know too many times this season, and if anyone in the chat box wants to let me know, feel free. Has he ever had a really stinky game when the rest of the team's played well?
Okay, got some questions here. Carlito says, Danny, we have a mega rich owner, actually two. Yeah, well, one can't get a look in because he's not allowed, and the other one is too busy buying all the land in America. He wants to buy the whole of America. Archie says, Jack stays, talks are going well. Well, hopefully. AFC Cam, priority says to Archie, priority should be a proper DM, then a goalkeeper, and we can put Nelson in for the wing. Maybe. Yeah, Cam says no one expects Ozil to be a hard nut. Ozil and Aubameyang.
But they do, that's the thing. Even Martin Keown was exactly talking about it. Jermaine Pennant had to set him straight. Jermaine, what's his face?
Genius.
Genius, that's it. The one that really talks shit about Tottenham deserving to win when they lost. But the thing is it's the first, we always do it. We'll do it no matter what. And he gets paid the most. He's going to be the biggest target on his back when we don't do well. Mm. But my argument's always been, he's got a lot of friends, you know, when he's going missing, I don't understand what we expect of the guy when everybody else is playing poorly. If we were there or thereabouts, if it was a sort of games on a knife edge and he just completely goes missing, then I can understand that. But so many times the whole team's been disgustingly bad. And I think it's just out of frustration, we need an outlet for it. And he's just the easy target. But if it wasn't him, that performance stays the same. And we would just poke at the next guy, you know, whether it be Lacazette, whether it be, you know, whoever else is the highest paid player on the team that didn't play well. So I think you keep the guy. I really can't understand why you would sell a guy that's got that much talent and you don't try and set up a structure and a system around him that allows him to do his thing. We did it with Fabregas. You know, we had a team around Fabregas that let him play that free role and do whatever he wants. And he wasn't running around kicking people, sliding and tracking back. He was doing his thing. So if you have defenders that defend, if you have a system where you don't have fullbacks bombing on and getting caught out of position like Bellerin did against Atletico Madrid, if you have all of that in place, I think you're going to see that Mesut Ozil is, you're going to see him playing for us how he plays for Germany if we have a system that mirrors what Germany does. But at the moment,
you're being logical again, aren't you?
Well, I think there's a few players actually like that I've earmarked that might have really good seasons under a different manager, provided that we have a manager like an Allegri or someone that's very systematic almost. I think Xhaka, you get a better player from him. You'd get a better Kolasinac. You'd get a better Bellerin. Mustafi's not as bad as he's been this year, I don't think. And even our goalkeepers, I mean, we desperately need a new goalkeeper, for sure. But the amount of shots that we let our goalkeepers try and save is pretty astonishing.
And the amount of tippy-tappy passing it back to the goalkeeper when you've got a player running at the goalkeeper, running behind you. We do that all the time as well, and that drives me crazy. And we've got a thing Nina's put here. Problem with Ozil is that he's hot and cold. Without players around him to support him, he doesn't do well. So can we afford supporting players without his money?
But what player does do well without support? That's my argument. That's what I want to know. Tell me a player. Does Ronaldo or Messi play really well when the rest of the team stinks?
Yeah, we had a player that could do it on his own, Sanchez, but then he'd only do it on his own a third of the time, and the rest of the time he'd be busy giving it away and being a tit.
That's the thing, you know. I just want to see us play some good team systematic football like we did today. You know, everybody was a 7 out of 10 at least, and a couple of players were 8s and 9s, and probably should get back to that rather than speaking about Ozil so much. But
oh, we can talk about it.
There's a lot of goals scored, Danny. A bit of Wenger ball. We threw it back a few years, didn't we?
I know. Talking about going back in time. K-Man said, do you remember your reaction to the news that Wenger would be our next manager back in 1996? How old were you in 96, Dom? You were about 3.
9?
9. Did you even have the knowledge of Arsenal back then in Australia?
No, that was a little bit before me. And even the thing for where I grew up in a little country town in outback Australia, the football, as we obviously call it, not soccer, was very difficult to come by as far as watching it. I remember my next door neighbour had cable TV, you know, the fancy stuff, and we'd sneak over there at 2, 3 a.m. and watch games. And that's how I first started watching Arsenal. Was definitely the Thierry Henry brought me into watching Arsenal. I just loved watching him run around and cause chaos.
Well, I remember it because I've always liked English players going to play abroad, and Glenn Hoddle was off playing at Monaco, and Mark Hatley was at Monaco, and Graham Ricks was at Caen. And I remember that when Hoddle came back to the UK, Chris Wardle was at Sheffield, at Marseille. When he was at Sheffield Wednesday, they were saying there's this bloke called Arsene Wenger at Monaco, and he is absolutely brilliant. And then I remember he went out to manage in Japan because he had Gary Lineker was at the same club. I think they may have been at the same time, I'm not sure. So I knew who he was. I remember thinking, oh, well, anything's got to be there. And then Bruce Rioch, because everybody hates Bruce Rioch. And I was just checked. I was in his first game, home game, we drew 0-0 with Coventry. And his next home game, I think we beat Leeds 3-0. I was at that game, but I wasn't at the Coventry one. That was back in the days when I used to go to football. Yeah, so as you were saying, get back onto the football. Where are we up to? Nice to see Stan there today. His obligatory one game per season, wearing the same suit and the same glasses as he always wear. He could well be a mannequin, couldn't he? Or a robot or something like that. It's weird how he looks. 13th minute, Lacazette to Iwobi, to Lacazette, who did a pirouette and stood across the front of the goal to Aubameyang, who tap it in from about 3 inches. Nice goal. Wasn't it brilliant to see that perfect combination and for Lacazette to have the confidence to be able to spin and lay it off?
There was a couple of moments earlier in the game. His touch was a little heavy and he wasn't quite at it. And so it was good to see him pull that one off. That was really nice. And little pass through from Iwobi was quite good too, because that's probably been a criticism of him, is that his final ball or his decision-making in that area of the pitch isn't always the best. And he definitely chose the right pass and executed it very well. And then also really good to see someone finally making a late run in and putting it away, which is something that we haven't had. As much as I love the big French lamppost, Olivier Giroud, and I was glad to see him get a goal today. He's not that player, was he? And I think that we've been crying out for someone that's got the pace to get in behind and cause defenders that little bit of extra worry, which Aubameyang definitely has the extra pace, which is nice to see. So
takes a while to get warmed up.
Very nice.
It takes a while, doesn't it, to get warmed up? You can't just go out there and start doing your magic after a couple of, like you said, he had a few heavy touches. But I mean, the weather today should have been terrible for them running around in that weather, in that heat. Takes a while to acclimatise, especially after a season playing this country. We've got a question here from some guy It says, if you could pick one player on a free transfer to bring in this summer, who would you pick? Mine would be Oblak.
Yeah.
Oh, excellent. Hello, there you go. That's that done. Oh, Jersey Gooner's there. He says, what a send-off. We had a message in our WhatsApp group, Ellis from Ellis, saying that his mum doesn't even like football and she's crying because of the Wenger send-off. And Jason says he's at the game, Jason Davis, and he's crying as well. Fucking hell. I think people need to get a fucking grip. Wenger's gone, see ya, next manager in. There again.
No, it is nice. Like, you know, I understand that there are certain people that get mad when you give him praise, you know, or if you say thank you for everything you've done. But at the end of the day, he is our most successful ever manager, and he's done a lot for the club. And I think it's only right that we wish him all the best and say thank you for all the great memories that we've had. There's been quite a lot. So yeah, I think he deserves all the praise and the plaudits that he's getting. Definitely very excited for next season.
Getting grief from a Man United fan. He says, well done on securing Europa League for a second season in a row. And he says, Wenger goes out on a whimper.
Man United haven't done a lot recently, have they? They've finished above us in the last 5 or 6 years. But
yeah. Well, again, when you throw £1 billion at a load of players and wages.
Then you play like Stoke. Yeah. That must be fun to watch every day, you know. The last time they won 5-0.
Excellent. Oh, yeah, no, they're arguing about something. Ah, Thomas of Norway's there. Is it sunny in Norway, Thomas? Right, next thing I'm going to go on to is there was a handball situation, but they didn't replay it, so I didn't really care about it. From the 16th minute to the 32nd minute, all I wrote is I yawned and dribbled in my beard, which I genuinely did, which wasn't nice. 32nd minute, lack of working hard on the right again, gets it to Mkhitaryan, who puts it over the bar. Now, that I like to see people, like we always say, Dom, should we shoot more? Mkhitaryan has obviously been listening because he does shoot more, doesn't he?
Yeah, but he's got the quality to do it, doesn't he?
Mm.
That's the other thing, you know. It's all very good and well saying shoot more, but there are certain players that we don't really want to be doing that. Coughlin was one.
Liam, can Mavropanos and conservative Ashley Maitland-Niles become starts next year? I was listening to another podcast and someone said Ashley Maitland-Niles and it made me smile. Can they become starters next season?
Say that again. Who?
Ashley Maitland-Niles and Mavropanos.
I think Mavropanos maybe could start a few games here or there. The midfield's a really interesting one because I've got a funny feeling that a manager's going to come in and really change that around a little bit. I don't think that some of the players are going to get any grace period at all. It wouldn't surprise me if a manager came in and just told Jaktus to jog on, or if Elneny wasn't part of the plans, or, you know, like you just don't know. I don't know that Maitland-Niles is going to. I don't even know where his best position is.
I think he's of that age, isn't he, where you play in lots of positions.
He needs a loan.
But that's the problem.
He probably needs a loan where he's playing in the same position every week for a whole season somewhere. I'm not sure. Yeah, I'm not sure just yet. He's definitely got potential. You know, he's strong, he's fast, he's athletic. He just needs to, you know, if he can learn the game and learn his position, then, he can definitely be an interesting prospect for the future. But I don't think that he's going to be somebody that we're going to rely too heavily on next season.
The Man United fan is asking when was the last time we won the title. And then so... where is it? Okay, man's put... You're pathetic trying to troll an untrollable chat box because we don't care. We all know.
We're the kings of banter. We do it to ourselves. What are you even doing here?
We hate ourselves more than anything else. Oh, dear. But then again, I guarantee if Wenger would have had £1 billion to spend and pay £400,000 a week for people like Pogba, and he finishes the season on the same number of goals as our left back, then you've got to be thinking, it's something not quite right there. But yeah, let me
he's
get on with it.
He's probably in here because he's watched us play because he couldn't be bothered watching his own team play and park the bus and play boring shit football.
And they lost to Brighton, didn't they? They lost to Brighton. Wow.
They lost to all three promoted clubs this season. That's a pretty good achievement.
That's the sort of thing we'd expect from our team, isn't it?
Yeah. is. They've out-bantered us. How dare they?
That's not right.
What else? Let's get back onto the game, Danny. Stop telling me stats.
Right, so where am I up to? 33. Iwobi kicks the ball at player. Shocker. He had, in the beginning of the first half, he ran through and he had a shot, and it was more like, if he'd have let stop, wouldn't have kicked the ball, gravity would have made the ball go against their keeper harder than what he actually kicked it. But things get better. I'm not going to ruin it for anybody who hasn't seen the game. 37 minute corner out to Wilshere, and he just stands there with it, and he must have had it what seemed like 3 or 4 seconds without doing anything before laying it off. Before laying it off to, I think it might have been, I don't know who it was. I was wondering, has Jack been told not to shoot? Because quite a lot of times in recent games, he's had the ball and he's like waiting to give it to somebody else. Now, I don't know if he doesn't want to miss or whether he's been told to give the ball to somebody else for if they're going to have a better chance, because he's not really a goal scorer. If Jace was here, he'd go, he's not a goal scorer. He'd remind me of that. But yeah, I think it's quite odd that he just stood there with tumbleweed going past him. Much like that question. Okay, 43rd minute. Xhaka, Mkhitaryan, Laka on the floor. Mkhitaryan with a good shot at the keeper. And then the Burnley player was fouled for the, was booked for the foul on Lacazette. Another superb bit of play. Just going to go and have a look at the, I'm wondering how many shots at goal we had. 14. Now, I thought we had more than that. 89% possession. And corners. They beat us 5-4 on corners. Odd. Next bit, Burnley with a good attack from right, puts it past and through all of our defences, all of our defence. Nothing changes. Do you remember that in the second, in the bit, in the end, towards the end of the first half, they ran down the right hand side, went past probably Kolasinac, and then put the ball through, and it seemed to thread between all of our players. And if it had been somewhere there to tap it in, they might have scored.
They didn't have a shot on target the first half though.
No, because all their players missed it. Yeah. All of our defenders missed it, and all their lot missed it. Yeah, they were very poor. But their season's done. They're in the Europa League, which is the first time they've been in Europe for. I'm sure somebody said they've been in Europe before, but I can't remember. But I don't ever remember it. 45th minute. Here we go. Great goal. It won't be out wide to Bellerin, who crosses it. And Bellerin was awesome tonight, today. Who crosses it for Laka?
He has really good passes into the box, didn't he? Which is. Yeah. Been a little criticism for me that his final delivery into the box with those little curling crosses and things usually end up going out for a goal kick. But he actually did quite well, I thought, with his play. And he set up 2 goals today?
I think he did. I think he got 2 assists. Or if yeah, let's go and have a quick look. Yeah, 2 assists.
Supporters telling us that Arsenal manager will have 50 million to waste. Lol. Well. Probably not as bad as Mourinho wasting another 200 million on shite.
Burnley won the title in 61-62. Yeah, Burnley used to be a huge team. It's good to see them back up there.
It must be really entertaining to have other supporters in here, Danny.
We just let them do what they want. They'll get bored.
What's that like?
He's obviously never heard this radio show, because all season all we do as Arsenal fans is bitch and moan about Arsenal. So he'd probably be the most positive person in the chat box. Oh, Kyle's there. Hello, Kyle. Yeah. He says, question for Dom.
We'll get to that question at the end, Kyle. We'll probably have a little bit of a chat about that, and we'll get some of your thoughts as well.
Yeah.
Next moment, Danny, what else happens?
Lacazette taps in from 5 inches out. Fantastic. So that was 2-0 up at half time, wasn't it? Yes, it was. The second minute of extra time. Did you see the did you see the Juventus game last night? They took 5 minutes deciding whether it was a penalty, and at the end of the first half had 2 minutes of extra time. But there was 5 minutes of VAR nonsense. Fucking nightmare. Okay, second half, 46th minute. Aubameyang down the left wing. No one stops him, and he passes to Jack, who misses. Now, do you think how Aubameyang was superbly efficient down that left wing? And when he did come in, I noticed Lacazette dropped back deeper into like a kind of 10 role. And so then, yeah, there's no point in me showing with my hands, is there? You know what I mean? And people listening on iTunes later.
I did notice that. I was watching for that. I think all of us that had been wanting to see if those two could work together, what would you like? And I feel that Aubameyang did a fantastic job of drifting wide and cutting in, and the runs that he made, I think, were really quite smart, weren't they? You know, he knew when to go in to try and get on the end of something, and he also knew when to drag defenders out wide. And the pace that he has definitely causes some issues. And Yeah, I think that he's going to be a big, big important player for us next season. What's he had? I think it's 8 goals and 4 assists in first 11 Premier League games or something, which is just, you know, which is incredible considering we're not exactly playing lights out football in the last couple of months. So
we're not playing Wenger ball.
We did today.
He certainly did today. I'm just looking at his stats here. 11 Premier League games, 6 goals and 3 assists. Wow. Actually, when you add up his minutes, he's only played 10 games because he's had a couple of games as sub. But you think a player at 28 years old, who spent the last 5 or 6 years of his career being an out-and-out striker, a goal-getting machine, to then be come to a new club, your record signing, and say, by the way, Sunshine, I want you out on the left and give the ball to Lacazette. And he's gone, yeah, okay, I can do that. And with a team in pieces, the manager leaving, the season on its arse, he's playing fantastically. I never thought that it would work, and it does. It's brilliant to see. Funny Chris was here. He wasn't sunning himself somewhere on the beach naked in deepest, darkest Plymouth, rubbing whale oil on himself. I'm going down a dark hole there that I don't want to go down. There you go, 49th minute. Cech had to put down his exotic cocktail as Burnley had a shot at goal. He saved it, back to topping up his tan.
He was on holiday today, wasn't he?
Oh, dear. I'm surprised he didn't change his head protection for a sun visor or something. Because, he wasn't really called into action much, was it? I'm just looking, Dave, in the game. Oh, annoys me that you can't on who scored.
United fans still at it. I just got to say, we bought Welbeck off him. Yeah, the same Welbeck that knocked you out the FA Cup that we went on to win. That guy.
Yeah.
Genius signing that was. It was worth it just for that.
Who has now gone on to play 41 games, I think, this season. So, Jackosaurus is there. Jackosaurus has been watching me play Twitch. He was watching me play FIFA 18 last night. And I think he even watched me play a little bit of my time at Porsche, which is thrilling. I had quite a few. I had 12 people at one time last night watching me play FIFA really, really badly. Is that all you've got, Man United fan? You can probably you can swear if you want. You can...
He's struggling. The banter is weak.
Come on, people, give him some help. Show how proper Arsenal fans slag Arsenal off, because this Man United fan is really struggling. This United fan, fan of Kiddy, plays too much FIFA. Yeah.
What happened next, Danny?
Yes. 53rd minute. Jack strolls through our midfield, which come about the most of the second half, that's all Arsenal did. Burnley just didn't put up any kind of defence to stop us going through the midfield. So he's went through the midfield like a stroll on the beach and passes it out left to Kolasinac, who hits it at 500 mile an hour. And that was the exact speed he hit it at, and then made it 3-0. What a fantastic game for Kolasinac, starting at left back, not left wing back. They stayed at four at the back the entire time, and he was running up and down that left-hand side. Like me after I'd had too much protein. It was a wonderful thing to see, wasn't it?
Yeah, he did have a decent game. Obviously, Burnley didn't exactly put us under much pressure the other way, so it was probably a little easier for him today, not having to be too defensively minded, which we're yet to really see long periods of games in a row, you know, stretches where he's played quite a lot where we can see what he has defensively. But I think that's been the major criticism, is that defensively he's not really as solid as maybe we need. But I think with a different manager, with a better system, that players like him and Bellerin and the defense in general will be a little bit more well-drilled and know when to go forward and know when to go back and do all of the right things. So that was definitely a very nice finish, though. We've had a lot of goals from our left-backs this season, haven't we?
Yeah, I think Kolasinac has... Monreal has got 7, is it? And Kolasinac has got 4. Monreal, where you go? Monreal's got 6. So I've got 10 from our left-backs, plus another 6 assists. And I want to go here and see games played, because then Bellerin will be at the top. Bellerin has 3 goals, but we don't have another right-back. We have had Ashley Maitland-Niles play right back, but then we had a brilliant left right back, and we gave him away to Saint-Étienne, who has gone on to get a player of the month, goals galore, no end of clean sheets, and back in the French national team. So I'd like to hear that one explained by the people who know. Why the fuck was he let go when he's a wonderful right back? And that's the kind of player that could have pushed Bellerin on this season to pull his finger out of his arse more often. Right, next point we're up to is Mickey almost made it 4-0. Great run from the right, then tries to curl it into the top left-hand corner. That you know when we do stuff like that, it's game over, really. They're poor old Burnley. They've given up, and then we're just taking the piss. But that was magnificent. It just shows the kind of confidence that Mkhitaryan has at Arsenal, stuff that he wasn't allowed to do at his previous club that we won't mention in case someone in the chat box gets angry.
Well, that's another funny one, isn't it? That we definitely got the better end of the deal on that one. Doesn't really matter how you look at it, that Mkhitaryan's performed a lot better than what Sanchez has since that transfer went down, which is kind of funny because a lot of the Arsenal fans tried to warn them that he'd been shite. But yeah, it was. There's a lot of signs after today that look promising for next season. You know, under a new manager with. When you've got Aubameyang and Lacazette and Mkhitaryan, and you know, then you've got players like Ramsey and Ozil who are quite good quality players, and then hopefully the defence gets sorted out a little bit, where we definitely have a decent starting 11. Whether we can manage to bring in a couple of extra players that we know that we need is yet to be seen, and you know, whether any of the youth players come through. But there's lots of reasons to be excited about next season, where I think the start of this season wasn't so much because we kind of knew what we were going to get.
Sanchez has 3 goals in 16 games. That's for Man United. Well, poor old boy. Next point on to is going to be... are you ready? Are you sitting down for this? Iwobi scored a goal. 63rd minute. And Iwobi goal. Iwobi runs through the midfield just like Jack did. Passes it wide to Aubameyang on his left, who strolls along and gives it back to Iwobi, who scores. Burnley are now ball watching. Yeah,
that was a really good finish, though, wasn't it? To lift it up,
yeah, at
the end of the top of the net like that, because it was nearly the only place that he could have snuck it past. So that was good to see. He's got great feet, Iwobi. He just doesn't always have that end product, which is probably why it surprised so many of us that he finished it so well.
Well, his stats this season: 36 games. 2 goals, 7 assists, and I think he had 1 yellow, and he was on the bench as an unused sub 14 times. So he's only 22 years old. I mean, that bloke has got such a great future if he's coached right and he has the confidence. And I think today showed that, yeah, once he scored that goal, that his confidence seems to be up. And I know we say confidence is a lot, but it must be. I mean, I'd have no confidence. I mean, I'd have no problem with confidence if I was a footballer. I'd be banging in goals all over the game, all over the shop. Much like you when it comes to the ladies, you don't have any confidence issues, do you, Dan?
Plenty.
Oh, dear. Look at you being all bashful. Right, next thing is 71st minute. Ramsey and Welbeck on for Wilshere and Lacazette. Do you think they're the right substitutions?
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, I'm just looking.
It was over by then. It didn't really matter.
Yeah, Ramsey had to come on because it's Wenger's last game. But Welbeck, maybe. Yeah, like I say, it doesn't really matter, does it? It wasn't going to make any difference to the game. Didn't change the formation. Kept playing the kind of 4-3-2-1 formation. 74th minute. Again, we stroll through their midfield and get it out wide to Bellerin, who's having a storming game, who crosses it in for Aubameyang to tap it in from 7 yards. Wow. What did you do when he scored that? His second goal of the game, that gave him an overall game rating of 9.5, 2 goals, 1 assist, playing out of his natural position. Probably one of his best games for Arsenal.
Yep, I think so. I think his overall game today was quite good. The runs, the way that he was kind of bringing other people into the game, the build-up play, the finishing. That finish especially was really quite good because that ball was fizzed in quite quickly.
Mm.
And he knew exactly what he was doing there. So that was... That was really, 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 again, that's one of those things that you see and it kind of gives you some excitement for next season.
Okay, where are we going to do now? Just looking through the chat box. Liam's got a question. If Wenger had left after the Champions League final, then returned 3 to 4 years ago, could it have been a different few seasons? You know, that's a bit complex, isn't it? So he left after 2006. And then he came back in 2012.
This is the thing about that period of time that we will never know and that we will argue till the end of time.
Because
that was the period of time that we were trying to pay off the stadium. Yeah. We didn't have a rich owner that bought it. We didn't have Man United money that they like to waste on shite players. We didn't have, you know, and Tottenham are about to go through that now, which is going to be hilarious. That some of the teams that he was putting out, if you go back and look at them, it is astonishing that we were making the top four, you know? So that's the argument, you know, he took that responsibility on. And I think it was Jason Davies was telling me this, that one of the only reasons we got the loan in the first place is because Arsene Wenger committed to a really long-term contract. That's how highly they thought of him when it came to the banks and financing, et cetera. So look, we will never know. And I think we did probably sacrifice a little bit of short-term success at that time to then have a future of a big stadium that we could compete long-term. And that's probably something that a lot of Arsenal fans aren't okay with. But again, we'll never know unless the man writes a book and kind of explains and talks about it. We will not know just how difficult that was and just how much he was under restrictions to be coming out of transfer window after transfer window with a positive bank balance and to still be up the top there. And if it wasn't for a lot of those players like Van Persie and Nasri and these guys letting him down, which they did by jumping ship, the team would have been quite good. You know, he was able to keep all those players together. And I think that's probably something that I'd love to get his thoughts on, is just the little bit of luck that didn't go his way when it came to his plan, I guess. And I don't think any other manager would have done anything differently. I don't think there's a manager in world football that would have been able to do better than what Arsene did during that period of time. I think the argument is from the last few seasons on, especially the window where all he did was buy Petacek. I think to me that was when I sort of started to think that maybe someone else was going to be a little bit better to take the club forward from that point. But it is what it is, and we are where we are, and there's not really that much point dwelling over that, is there? It's more so trying to get excited about what's next.
And just to let the Man United fan know that we did actually win the UEFA Cup in 1969-70. Yeah, we won that. It's called the Intercity Fairs Cup, which was the prelude to the UEFA Cup. So, yeah, we have won two trophies in Europe. But that's smart. That's all we want. We don't need any more. That'd be greedy. The only other note I've got, because then I started getting ready for the show, was 76th minute. Big Per is on for Chambers. Takes the captain's armband. Superb. He's 221st and last game for Arsenal. What a magnificent moment that was, because we all know that he's had personal issues where he struggled with the psychological aspects of being a footballer and the stress and the pressure. And when he said he'd rather just sit on the bench than play football, you know that he's got problems. But staying at the club next season, he's going to be in charge of the youth academy, not necessarily doing all the coaching, because I think he might be still doing his coaching badges. They still have it will still be Steve Gatting with the under-23s, Kwame Ampadu with the under-18s. But I think he'll be overlooking the whole thing, which is really good to see. But it's really nice to see him come on and take the armband, wasn't it?
It was. I like that he did his, you know, tuck the shirt in, pull his pants up really high, do the Harry High pants. That's always great from Per. But he's been a great player for us. He really has. And there's been periods where him and Khashoggi had a fantastic centre-back partnership where they were conceding very, very little, and it was making our goalkeeper look quite good at the time. So, look, he has been a great character around the club. He's never been blessed with a lot of speed, and yes, he's made a few mistakes along the way, but I mean, that's what happens when you're a centre back for Arsenal. It seems to be contagious, doesn't it?
Because it's a known fact that we don't get defensive training, and yeah, they're just told to come in and do what you want.
There's been some great moments from Per, hasn't there? The scored a great header against Spurs, celebrated like we all would, which is great to see. But yeah, he's been fantastic, and he's a very well-liked character, and you could see that today with the fans singing his name and cheering every time he got a kick of the ball. So it was really nice to see he got a little bit of a nice send-off as well.
Oh, now the Man United fan is saying they've won three Super Cups. That's the European equivalent to the Charity Shield. That's absolutely nothing. That's an embarrassment. You brought that up.
Mourinho claimed the Charity Shield as a trophy the other season, so it doesn't surprise me.
Well, that's all I've got for the notes, people. That's just looking at, we're talking about Ozil, just looking at the number of games he's played this season, 35 out of 58, 5 goals and 14 assists. Last season, 44 out of 55, And he got 12 goals and 14 assists, which is a really fantastic season for him. But his best season for me was the 15-16. Played 45 out of 54, 8 goals and 20 assists. Now, any idea why that season, 15-16? So that would have been, that's the season we didn't win the FA Cup, wasn't it? Yeah, we won it the two seasons before and the season after. But that season, 20 assists in 45 games. What do you think we need to do to make sure that he can get that kind of... assist ability, because he's not somebody who relies on pace. So he's only 28, 29 now, isn't he?
Aubameyang?
Someone's just put in there, he's going to get player of the year next season, Aubameyang. I thought, yeah, that would be lovely to see.
He's not going to slow. Like the thing with the athletes now, when it comes to pace, when you're a player like him, and Theo Walcott was always similar, you don't actually reach your peak when it comes to physical attributes until you're around 30 now. Which is why you still see players that are physical and athletes like Ronaldo still kind of not slowing down so much. So he's not really a concern for the next two or three seasons as far as, you know, whether he's going to lose his pace. It's just a little bit harder to recover after games, and you just have to manage those players a little bit more smartly. So yeah, I'm definitely, he's a player that I'm very excited to be watching next season, because even that little, there was a little poke from Ramsey, I think it was, to Aubameyang, and he took a little touch and then ran around the defender and took an extra 10 yards to get around him and still beat him to the ball. So little things like that definitely will scare the crap out of defenders and makes us a little excited for next season too.
Someone called Dom was just put in the chat window, Man United are a small club next to Man City. How annoyed would you be? How annoyed would we be if suddenly Spurs, who have done nothing, have been a shit team most of their time in their existence, done nothing since 1961, they suddenly got more money than some countries have, and then they just start winning everything.
Manchester's now blue. We all know that. Well and truly.
And if we could have some music, we'd play a little bit of Oasis just to show how blue Man City are. And good luck to them. I'm glad they're winning stuff, because they're a wonderful team. Right, going to go through to some of your questions. Well, I'm going to just go scroll up a bit and see if there were any. Have you wrote any down? Of course you haven't.
No, I've been ignoring them.
Stan the Man.
What do we got? We got Clayton Maddox out of Young Talent. Who would you keep in the first team next season? Who would you loan out?
Good question.
Because I'm not sure there's too many of the young players that would benefit from being in and around the first team next season, purely because I don't think they'll get the game time to develop. So if you look at someone like Callum Chambers and Rob Holding this season,
they're too old to loan out.
Yeah, but they've also not been played enough to develop at the same time. I don't think their development's been great over the last 12 months because of the game time they haven't been getting. So it's a tricky balance, isn't it? And Maitland-Niles is another one we spoke about earlier, where is he...
26 games a season.
Yeah, is Maitland-Niles going to get the game time to develop, or would he be better off going somewhere and playing every week? I think he's at that age and that point in his career where he would be... it would be very beneficial for him and for us long-term if he went somewhere and played all season. So I'm not sure any young kids that you like the look of that you think could play, you know, at least 20 games for the season. You need a good 20 games, don't you, to develop?
I mean, Eddie Nketiah, he's got to go out on loan because he's not going to get many first-team games, because it all depends on the new manager. If you're going to get a mercenary in like someone like Jose, who doesn't give a damn about youth football, or who's one of the other ones, like Pep, doesn't really give a damn about youth football, or whether you're going to get someone who does, who's going to be making the most of these players, but Eddie needs to go out on loan. Reece Nelson should go out on loan. I mean, they're both 18. Joe Willock, another one, should either go on loan because he's not going to get many games. But I think when you come down to Maitland-Niles and Mavropanos and Iwobi, Holding, I think all of those need to stay, because I think they're good enough. They've had enough games. This thing that says is they've played 36 games, like for Iwobi, but I don't know if that includes the reserve league. Sometimes it does. They don't separate them out. But those kind of players, even if they're only on the fringes like they've been this season. But you're saying about Holding and Chambers, but if next season we've got Per Mertesacker's retiring, Koz is coming. I mean, how long do you think Koz is going to be out for? He's not going to be back anytime before Christmas, is he?
As soon as he did it, I wrote in our little chat box that it looked like a full rupture of his Achilles, which means he's proper fucked. For someone that's had so many issues in the past when it comes to the tendonitis that he was dealing with every day. And Arsblog really did a great little article on that. You know, you're talking about a guy who's been playing through immense pain for the last two or three seasons, who's done his utmost to get out on the pitch to help us out. He has made some pretty terrible mistakes that have cost us quite a lot in the last 12 months or so. You know, looking back to the Atletico Madrid home game, that was not his finest moment for sure. But, you know, he's a guy that's been at the club for nearly 10 years now, and anyone that's had Achilles issues knows just how difficult it is to manage, and all the injections and treatment and pain and things that he's been going through to play, only to end up knowing it, you know, in the back of your mind that what happened could happen at any moment, and for it to happen when it did, which means he's going to miss out on a World Cup. It's really sad for the guy. It really is. And anyone that's kind of celebrating that he was injured is a complete and utter moron and doesn't really understand, I think, what it means to be a footballer. But he's not going to be playing a whole part for us, yeah, until at least Christmas next year, if at all, to be honest. I think by then, hopefully, we've developed some centre backs. We've bought a centre back or whatever, and then Koscielny can be more of a, you know, a backup fill-in rotation option, where if he is able to get back to that fitness level, which is going to be dubious at 33, 34 years old, whether he's even going to be able to get back to that level, I'm not sure. I'm pretty dubious, skeptical whether he's going to be playing much of a part for Arsenal anymore, which is really, really sad. But we do need to start looking to move on, especially in the defensive area.
Agree. Right, I've been cutting and pasting some questions. Dan the Man says, if you're the new incoming manager, how would you play Aubameyang and Lacazette together? Would you go with two up front? I suppose I'd add to that, or would you just try and stick to the one up front with two, possibly three playing behind, drifting in and out?
Again, it depends on what the style of football the manager likes to play. I don't mind playing the two up front if they're different in quality, which they do seem to be. Maybe I like the diamond formation. You know, if you could have a proper defensive midfielder sitting back, and then if you had Ramsey and Xhaka slightly ahead, and then you had Ozil ahead of them, and then you had the two strikers ahead of them, that's a good way to fit both of them in as strikers without having to push one out wide. But then the width needs to come from the fullbacks. But the issue with doing that is that defensively you can get caught out, which we do anyway. I don't know. I'm just excited to see. You know, if you look at Man City, you know, they've got Aguero and Gabriel Jesus, and they don't seem to struggle for game time and goals. And I don't think it needs to necessarily be shoehorning them both in unless it makes sense to do so.
Righto. Yeah, I agree with that. Koa likes Desi. Says, we all reckon that the team needs better tactics and structure. How long do you think it would take for a new manager to impart this to the team?
That's a good question.
There's a whole lot of ingrained stuff you've got to get rid of, isn't it?
Exactly. If you look at Pep going to Man City, it took him 12 months. You know, that first season, he was trying to get his team playing the way that he wanted them to play. The advantage that Pep had was that he had a bucket load of money to go and buy the players that suited that system. And we probably won't have that. So, look, we've got to give the manager 12 months, don't we? At least before we start worrying about whether it's working or not. But being football fans, not just Arsenal fans, being football fans, will probably give him about 3 minutes.
There's a few people here saying that Wenger hasn't been ruthless enough when it comes to his partly his favourites, but injured players. Now, there's no way Bellerin should be playing every single game this season. Some of the games he's had, he should have been dropped, and it would have been fantastic for someone like Debuchy to come in and keep him on his toes. And we're not going to list all the players that have been at the club that have gone contract after contract when they've been obviously fucked, and then they've gone on and they've done nothing at other clubs or retired the season later with all the money that they've made from us. But there does seem to be, in his time, he's had so many of his favourites that just continuously play. I mean, you look at someone like Lucas Perez last season, scored a hat-trick in the Champions League, was more than happy to sit out wide and give people assists and help people out. And then Wenger went, nah, don't like it, he can piss off. And now what we're going to do with him? He was on about 25 grand a week when he was at Deportivo, according to Football Manager database. And then he came to us, and I think he was on 70, 75 grand a week. He's gone back over there. We're still having to cover his wages. We've bought him on a three-year contract. So what's he going to do for the next 1 year of his contract? Deportivo look like they're going to get relegated. And the fans, somebody said the fans were booing him when he was there.
But yeah, I mean, look, I think every manager has their favourites, don't they? But 100% agree that there's been some contracts and players that have been shoehorned into positions and things over the years. And, you know, everyone will talk about someone like Andre Arshavin, who was forced out on the left and didn't work hard enough. But, you know, there's been many, many, many situations that you can sit back in hindsight and say that we haven't done ourselves any favours. One of the big ones was when we went into the season thinking that Arteta was going to be good enough as a defensive midfielder with no backup. And lo and behold, he got injured and our title chances went to crap. So there's been many, but I 100% agree that a lot of these players in their tweets and thank yous to Arsene, I think you can see it in their responses to it, where they're saying, you know, thanks for having so much faith in me and thank you for believing in me and et cetera, because they know that they wouldn't have been given the same grace period that our manager's given them. And it's one of his biggest weaknesses as well as one of his biggest positives as a manager, is that, you know, the 18 months of football we got out of Robin van Persie before he nicked off was some of the most amazing football you'll ever see from a striker. And a lot of managers would have turfed him much sooner because of his injury record. Same thing with Aaron Ramsey. You know, he struggled for a long time before he came good. And again, recently coming back from injury, he struggled again in performances of late this season, I think, show what a good player he is. But again, some of these guys wouldn't have had the opportunities they've had to get back into form under other managers. Theo Walcott would have been sold years ago.
Yeah, that typifies his tenure as Arsenal manager, doesn't it, Theo Walcott? As much as I love Theo, he was never an Arsenal player. I'm just looking at Lucas Perez. Deportivo have been relegated. 33 La Liga games, 7 goals, 5 assists. And that's not bad for a team that have finished well. And he scored again yesterday. And he scored against Barcelona at the last weekend. And so he scored 7 goals and they only scored 35 all season. So, yeah, that's going to be another player that we're going to have to absorb the wages, because there's no team on earth that is going to pay him 70, 80 grand. And they're going to wipe it out. The new manager probably doesn't want him. Sad. Another question. AFC Cams asked us to do a breakdown of the deadwood at the club, which I think we've kind of covered that. There's a few that are leaving. There's a few that are injured. And there's a few that we don't want. Ian Alexander says, would you consider Jack Butland? He would obviously be available. And although not an oblack, he is a much more affordable, serious improvement to our keepers. I don't know if he's got a release clause, because I know if West Brom go down, Johnny Evans, they wanted 30 million for him in the transfer window. But if he goes down, he goes for 3 million, doesn't he? Or something like that.
I mean, we're going to get onto this later when it comes to the managers that we want, but there are managers out there that have managed to plug holes in their teams without having to go and spend huge money to do it, because they know that a certain player will have a certain skill set. Now, I know that Man City paid a bucket load of money for Edison, but if it wasn't Man City,
the Kyle Walker effect,
isn't
it?
Three top four goalkeeper in the world. He wasn't a Neuer. He wasn't a David De Gea. He was not really that. I think even a lot of the Premier League fans in general were like, who?
Yeah, I hadn't heard of him.
It was Man City that they were paying so much. But Pep obviously identified that he had the skill set that he needed to fill that position. So that's why he went and sort of scouted that guy out and got him in. And I think that's what you see when a different manager with a different philosophy comes in, like an Allegri or like somebody that's very systematic, is that they're not necessarily interested in the name. They're interested in the skill set and the position or their quality and whether that suits what they want, which is the difference between Mourinho. Mourinho just buys names. You know, he'll just go and spend a shit ton of money on someone so no one else can have them, rather than Pep's buying players that suit a system. So I want to give a quick little shout out to David Keith, who asked for a little nod earlier. What was your question here, mate? It was, do you fear for the future? Because I do.
He also says, how many players would you get rid of?
I think we'll go with the fear the future thing. I think it's only normal that when you've had stability for 22 years, the incoming change is a little bit frightening to know what's next, which is why a lot of people were hanging on to the notion that Arsene was probably the best man for the job for so long, because a lot of people's argument was there's nobody, well, they didn't believe that anybody else out there could do a better job. Now, I think after this season, those voices are a little bit few and far between, but fearing the future, I think I prefer to just be excited by it. I think you're right. There's not going to be a quick cure. I don't think it's reasonable to expect that we're going to go from what this season was to being a contender in 12 months. I think there is a rebuilding period happening. And if you look around at other teams that have had good success, like Man United, when they changed managers, they were in for a little bit of a rough time for the next little bit. But again, I think there's some really positive signs, and there's some really good footballers at our football club that I think we're not seeing the best of. I don't think we're getting the best out of a lot of our players purely because the lack of structure. And we don't have enough people on the pitch that can game manage. And I don't think those players exist anymore. I think Arsene Wenger was around at the right time with players like Adams and Bergkamp and Henry and Vieira, those leaders on the pitch where he could just tell them to express themselves and know that they were going to do a lot of the managing on the pitch, where, you know, I think the last of those players, your Lampards and your Gerrards and these kind of guys don't exist anymore. And now if you look around at football teams in general, the ones that are doing well are being coached by managers that are doing all of that now. So that's all I want out of the new manager, someone that brings in a little bit of stability and structure.
Okay, well, we've been going for an hour and 11 minutes. The Man United fan's gone. Well done, everybody. We just go and disagree with everything he says because he's probably right. Jason wouldn't have any of that. I'd ban the bastard. But Jason's probably in tears still. Right, one final question, which will lead on to the final topic we want to talk about, from Archie Q. Oh, no, Archie Q question. Can we really get the dream target of Allegri this summer? His recent comments on "let me finish with two trophies" makes me feel like it's a possibility. So what do you think about that? And who would be your choice as manager? Maybe people in the box just put who they'd like as manager as well. We might read a few out.
The reason I think Allegri would be great is because he brings in a bit of stability and structure in a time that I think we desperately need it. And I think that the players are even, you know, probably looking around wanting a little bit more coaching and a little bit more direction. But the other reason I think Allegri would be great is because of he hasn't spent huge money barring Higuain, which they got because they sold Pogba. He hasn't, you know, Kedira didn't cost them much of anything. When they got Dani Alves in the first time, it didn't really cost them anything. He's very good at plugging players in that do the job that he needs them to do. And he's definitely not a manager that required huge amounts of money, whereas Luis Enrique, which was, you know, the hot name for a little while there, there were reports that he was demanding £200 million, which, to be fair, Danny's disappeared, which would, to be fair, is probably a reasonable amount of money to be asking for to rebuild the side, but it's just not realistic. It's not going to happen. And so if there's a manager that doesn't think they can do it on a budget, then yeah, I'm not sure that it's going to be doable. So I'm just going to have a quick little peek over. Yep, Danny's gone. So it's me.
Yeah,
oh, he's back again.
What the hell happened there? I thought you'd gone.
Nah, I was carrying the show as per usual.
I was just talking about Seymour's ass. All right, come on, carry on.
No, I'm done now. I'm out.
Ah, what did you say then?
No, I just said Allegri because he can work without huge budgets.
Yeah, my PC has been a twat lately. It logged me out of every single one of my accounts for everything last night for no reason. Right, so there's NN Gunner says, I'm a fan of Nagelsmann, like Jardim too. Stan the Man wants Jardim. AFC Cam wants Allegri.
Jardim would be another great one purely because he plays good attacking football and he has developed youth quite well.
Yeah.
And he seems to have an eye for talent. So he'd be another one that would probably be quite welcome.
Carlito agrees. Liban, kind of. Archie says, Allegri, Jardine, Nagelsmann, any of them, I hope. AFC Cam says, I would like an experienced manager. Allegri or Jardine would do me fine. Don't want any young managers. No, he doesn't want Arteta or Nagelsmann. I would, as long as he's not Arteta and as long as he's not Vieira, I don't really care.
I think we need some stability. This next little 2 to 3 years, it would be perfect for an Allegri to come in and instill a little bit of structure and stability in that side. And then someone like a Nagelsmann or an Arteta could come in once Arsene's well and truly out the picture. I don't know that it's a task that a young manager is going, like, you know, you look at the person that came in after Alex Ferguson, Moyes, it was doomed from the start, wasn't he? So
true. Yeah. Formerly known as Owen Coyle it is then.
Probably. No, you know what's going to happen. I can tell you what's going to happen. We're going to get to the start of the season and Arsene Wenger's going to sign a 2-year deal because we couldn't find anybody else out there better.
Ridiculous. Kyle. Hello, Kyle. He says, anyone but Brendan. I think Brendan's signed and ruled himself out of it. Kyle can't be too happy because he's a Rangers fan. And Fatty Gerrard is his new manager. Well, he's an Arsenal fan, but he also supports Rangers.
What about you, Danny? Who do you want?
I really don't care. As long as it's not Arteta or Vieira. I mean, Vieira, I wouldn't be angry about, but I don't want some little prodigy of Wenger's to come in. I'd love someone like Allegri who plays interesting attacking football. Jardim is going to make, from what people say who know better than me, he would make sure that the youth team would get be run well and the young players would get a chance and plays decent football, beat PSG to the title without having hardly any money. And had all his best players taken off of him. So there's so many choices out there. But
the thing that I think with the owners, with the Cronkies, is that they're not afraid to go youth and they're not afraid to take a risk, which isn't necessarily a bad thing. If you look at the LA Rams, they have the youngest head coach, I think, in history. I'm not sure.
He's 32
at the time.
Yeah.
And he is unbelievably good. And he has that whole franchise on a string at the moment. And I've got a buddy of mine who's really into his NFL and he's glowing praise of this manager and how well he has, you know, players playing for him that are older than him and the respect that he's been able to get from them and the way that he goes about it is very refreshing. He's intense. He's really, really intense. And he has that whole playing group really and up also every game. And you can see the intensity they're playing. And they were tipped to be disgusting and they just played lights out. The big thing there is they're not afraid to go with a surprise youth appointment, being the owners and obviously being able to make those decisions. So not necessarily think that that's the right decision right now, but it wouldn't be a shock.
Messi has scored in the FIDE League derby. There's a surprise. He did the same thing with the Denver Nuggets as well. Got, I think, a 36-year-old manager. Someone tweeted me and told me that as well.
Yeah, they definitely see the positives and the benefit, I guess, of having a little bit of a youthful look at the game, perhaps. And maybe it would be... I'm thinking maybe Arteta would be a little bit too close to home for some of the players.
And what's he done as well? It's done nothing. Not done anything either.
You know, he had a lot of praise at the club while he was there about how smart he was and how well he saw the game. And a lot of the players and coaching staff and everybody were saying that he's going to be a fantastic manager one day. I just think that maybe he needs an extra 2 or 3 years away from Arsenal before coming back. And Vieira, I'm not sure. Vieira doesn't instill with any confidence at all. I think he's just a name because he was an Arsenal legend and... Same with Henry. I don't see why Henry would be a great manager at all.
But, no, I don't think any of them will. Want a proper manager. Don't want that. It's not the boot room. It's not Liverpool where you can just go, he's been here for a long time. Mm-hmm. It's his turn next to come in and be manager. I don't want any of that kind of virtual nepotism. I think nepotism is the right word for that, isn't it? I'm sure it is.
It'll do. It sounds impressive.
It does. I'm going to call you out. I thought it was an allergic reaction to nettles, but apparently that's not what it is.
Maybe that's why you've got an itchy neck.
A couple of people have mentioned Chiellini would be a good signing. There's Chiellini, Buffon, and there's about three of the big name players at Juventus all out of contract this summer.
Maybe Allegri will bring him over. Maybe Allegri will bring Dybala.
Oh, that'd be good. And as there's no Stoke to break him up into little pieces and leave him for dead, that might even work. How long have we been going for? Oh, an hour and 20 minutes. What do you think we should do now?
Maybe I want to go and watch that.
Watch what?
I want to watch Barcelona spank Madrid.
Oh, there's chavs walking down my road in the middle of the road. Why do young people, if you're listening, why do you see it necessary to walk down the middle of the road when there's a fucking perfectly good pavement out there? You fucking idiots. So we answer, are you going to go watch the game or should we answer some more questions?
Oh, let's do a couple more.
Okay, people. So
should we ask them to give us a like and a thumbs up? We've only got 47.
No, I don't want any. No, give us thumbs down. Don't subscribe. Don't tell your friends. Don't give us any donations.
Let's use reverse psychology.
Yeah.
No, exit out the stream.
We're just anti the YouTube generation. It's terrible. Fuck them. Something smells weird. Someone's cooking nonsense. Right. Any questions? Oh no, that's somebody else's Mickey. The Nuggets are difference is that the Nuggets are hot garbage. How can something be hot garbage as opposed to garbage? Oh dear. Oh, here we go. Formerly known as gone old school. Frey, Kalou, and Mek says, oh, Sebastian Frey, what a goalkeeper he was. And Philippe, was it Philippe Mexes? Another one that we were meant to be with for years. Oh, here we go. From David Keith. Do you think we will get a better manager than Wenger? Wow. There you go. Is this the day that we can safely say it's not the day, is it, to be mean about Wenger? No, it'd be impossible to get a better.
Look, again, I think you don't have to keep criticizing the guy. You're allowed to give him praise and also want him to move on and wish him all the best at the same time. They're not mutually exclusive. So nothing but positive words for the man after today and by the end of the season, but definitely excited about something different. And I think we're not going to do worse next season, are we? Let's be honest. We're not going to finish worse than sixth. Even if a new manager was to come in and not kick it off, you know, well straight away. I highly doubt that we're going to finish lower than that. So maybe we'll be able to get an away point in 2018.
Oi, don't start that nonsense. We've had a few people join us. Ask Nick Gooner. He's late. We need a note as to why you're late. Terence McGovern says, I'm late, so could you guys start again, please? Oh, is it 1-1? I think it is. Feeder league nonsense. Ronaldo scored. It'd be just let them two play around on the pitch together. What a shit league. Matthew Beaumont says, what do you think about Buvac coming in? Isn't he the assistant manager or was to Kloppo at Liverpool and he got the ump and he stopped off again?
Yeah, I think this is, I've got a Liverpool supporting mate of mine who texts me regularly. And I basically just said to him that the thing is that until we get a manager, the media are going to have an absolute field day with the hits and clicks because they're just going to link a new person to us each day. And then that's going to do the rounds. And then the next day, it's going to be someone else. And the next day, it's going to be someone else until we finally appoint someone. When the reality is the board or the club have probably got three names that they're really trying to, you know, I'm sure they're taking a lot of different interviews or they're talking to a lot of people, but they've probably got three people that they're really targeting, I'd say. So,
Jardim, Allegri. And
yeah, maybe Enrique. I don't know.
Yeah, that's how it's like one of those three.
It doesn't really make any difference, does it? It is what it is. But I think as Arsenal fans, we're very easy clickbait. So the journalists are going to have a field day until we finally announce someone.
Jesus, don't. It's just absolutely
nonsense. A new name each day.
Stan the Man says, thoughts on Keown's analysis of Ozil, harsh or spot on? Well, I think he was a little bit harsh, yeah, but also spot on.
We kind of went through that already. Again, let's see what a new manager does with the guy. You know, he does need to do more, 100%. He does need to work a little bit harder. But at the same time, the criticism that he gets, I think, is overall a little unfair because he gets paid the most. And when we do terribly, he's the one that everyone pokes their finger at. And with a more structured team around him, he's going to be a much better player. Uh-oh, the Welsh fanny's in the house. Have you finished crying, Jason?
We didn't tell anybody that Jason's been crying. We had a Man United fan in here as well, Jason. We just let him run amok and do what he wanted.
Yeah, well, because that's his fault for not being here, throwing out the Welsh.
Oh, look, he turns up right at the end and everyone's, oh, hello, Jace, Welsh Justice in the house. Bloody hell. Do you think the new manager will let Van Aerssel get away with not playing so many games all season? Because a player like that, he should be able to play every single game, shouldn't he? I don't think they'd put up with it.
No, he's not going to get such a free ride under a new manager, that's for sure.
Are you drunk, Jace?
Probably.
Oh dear. Right, any more questions? The other Welshman is probably knee deep in barmaid. He said he wasn't finishing work till 7 o'clock. If anyone sees Chris wandering around with his top off, rubbing sand on his nipples, then go and just take him back to his house because he's already got sunstroke. That's all we're getting pictures of on Instagram and in the groups is pictures of him half naked. It's ridiculous. I was quite surprised though that Chris hasn't got more tattoos on his back. Maybe it hurts too much. Maybe that's what it is. Hope you all enjoyed it. Yeah, it's true. I cried. Jason tweeted, he cried. Back in hell. Was that you cried at the price of the beer, Jace? Or yeah. because you've been in London and you've been picked on? It's going to take a while before you can answer that one. Matthew Stern, question, can Jace do a job on the wing?
Yeah, he'd get red carded in about 2 seconds.
Jason's put fuck Ryan Shawcross. Yeah, we had a moment's silence for Stoke at the beginning of the game, Jace. Oh dear. Gotta go, have a good one. Cheers, Jace. Don't get beaten up and left for dead anywhere, will you? And also don't kill anyone. Archie says here that Iwobi turns late into training as well.
A lot of changes. There's not that if you know a manager's gonna come in and he's not gonna care about whether you've been there for 5 minutes or 5 years, he's not going to care about any of that stuff. He's going to instill his own values into the club, and the players that don't play ball are going to find themselves not playing football. So it's not for us to worry about.
Right. Are you having a spring clean? No, that's Seymour. She does my cleaning for me. She's a West Ham fan. Ignore her. She's trouble. You keep quiet, woman. Oh yes, right. I think there you go. We're petering out a little bit here, an hour and a half. We've answered most of your questions, so I think I should say thank you very much to everybody in the chat window. I'm not going to name any people. I can't remember whether Jason does that at the end. He probably says hello to people all the way through the fucking show. It's just an hour and a half of people saying hello to people because he's just a lovely bloke. Right, thank you very much for joining me today, Dom. Hopefully this will work on YouTube if it cut me off and then put me back in again. If it didn't work on YouTube, then we're not doing it again. And you people that have been here are the only ones that have seen it live or at all. So thank you very much for joining me, John. Dom?
No worries.
John. I said joining and Dom. I mixed them together. Right, anything you'd like to say before we go?
Thanks for jumping in. Maybe we should just give a little nod to Alex Ferguson on a serious note. He's not looking so good, so hopefully he pulls through, but never good to see. Thanks for everyone for joining us today. Give us a little thumbs up if you do on your way out, you know.
Apparently Wenger in his goodbye speech today say get well soon, Ferguson. So those things have a bit of a man crush on each other, which is nice to see in modern day football.
Yeah, very iconic over the last 10, 20, 15 years, isn't it? So
Definitely
not like to see that.
Right, on those lovely notes, we're going to say goodbye, dear listener. Thank you for joining us. And I will be back on Tuesday with Fife.
Nope, he's gone again. Sorry, guys. Don't worry about it. I'll carry us from here. As per usual, Danny's done a mischief. Maybe the cleaning lady's unplugged his laptop or maybe done something to his brakes. Where'd you go?
It cut me off again.
The cleaning lady's just unbraked your wheelchair and wheeled you off somewhere.
She probably fucking would.
Out the back, put you down.
Got me with a tickling stick. Right, while it's still working, I'm going to say goodbye, everybody. Thank you very much for joining us, and we'll see you on Tuesday for the normal podcast. Bye-bye.